Lord, speak to us and let us hear. Amen. Please be seated. I like to sit on the swinging bridge down at Camp McDowell. If you've never seen it before, it extends over Clear Creek, the creek that runs through the middle of camp and flows down into Smith Lake. I grew particularly fond of hanging out on the swinging bridge on the hot summer nights when I was on summer staff at McDowell in my college days. I didn't really care who I was with or how many people I was with or if I was there by myself. There was something about the quietness of sitting in the middle of the swinging bridge, save for the sound of the creek that ran below. And on a clear night, the stars above were an added bonus. I would go sit on the bridge by myself and think. I would sit with friends and chat. Either way was fine with me. Working at camp, we never really got paid very much at all, but we always found ways to spend what we were paid. Being college-age kids, we were spending money on food, gas for car trips, and of course, Coca-Cola Classic and Coca-Cola Classic Light. Sorry, Mom, my mom's here. For whatever reason, though, I liked spending my hard-earned camp paychecks on somewhat less practical things, if you can believe that. I loved the Sharper Image that used to be at the Summit. I don't know if you remember, it would close probably about 10 years ago, but one break I found a toy at Sharper Image that I simply could not go back to camp without. A spy listening device. It was, Mom and Dad, y'all remember this when I had this. It was this little black gun that had a microphone on the end of it. And it had this plastic cone around the microphone, and it had headphones that attached to the gun. And you could sit with the headphones on, pointed at two people having a conversation 100 yards away, and you could hear everything they were saying. I know, because I tried it. But more than anything, this toy changed the experience of sitting on the bridge. Even though it was a toy and not a real life spy listening device, all the things I was hearing before while I was sitting on the bridge were amplified. And I could even hear things I wasn't hearing before. The sound of the creek sounded like a rushing river. The sound of crickets seemed like they were right there on my shoulder. I could hear rustling of whatever creatures were running around in the woods out there. Who knows what that was? It was amazing to just sit and listen and hear the things I couldn't hear before. And I started to listen differently. I started trying to hear new things. Flash forward 10 years or so later, and I was sitting not on the swinging bridge, but on a rock in the Judean wilderness. My classmates and I on the trip to the Holy Land had been encouraged by our group leader to go off and sit by ourselves along the bluff that overlooked what seemed like endless miles of rocky hills, just as far as the eye could see. This was the same desert that Jesus wandered for 40 days after his baptism. And this was the same wilderness that John the Baptist traveled in our gospel lesson from Luke, proclaiming a baptism of repentance and forgiveness. I sat quietly on a rock, and it was kind of similar to sitting on that swinging bridge back home in Alabama. But it was quieter. It was a different kind of quiet. It was almost as if I was sitting in a vacuum. The silence was one that was strange yet somehow familiar. It was the kind of silence that seemed to amplify even the smallest noise, the sound of a Bedouin shepherd and his sheep walking by a couple hundred yards away sounded like they were right in front of me. The voice of a young boy trying to sell belts and purses to any of my classmates who would pay him any attention. Then the sound of gunfire came from a distant Israeli military base doing live fire exercises. It was amazing to me how these noises seemed so close, yet were not. I was drawn to the noises. I was drawn to the noises of the wilderness somehow, just like the noises coming through the headphones of my listening device at the swinging bridge. We are inching closer and closer to Christmas, yet still it can seem as though there is more than Christmas on all of our minds. I've caught myself doing something in particular a lot lately. Whenever someone asks me how things are or how things have been lately, I always seem to spit out the same answer. I've been busy. For whatever reason, that seems to be the rote answer for me. I don't know when I noticed that I was doing it a lot, and I don't know when it registered with me that that was my answer every time anyone was trying to legitimately ask me and see how I have been. But I also don't think it's untrue. Truth is, I have been busy. This is a busy season in the church, and I do feel like my attention has been and is being pulled in a lot of different directions. But it's not just the church. Everyone's calendars are full, right? There are plenty of things in our already busy lives that are competing for our time, our attention, and our energy. This is just the nature of this time of year, it seems. But what if it wasn't? What if all that stuff that seems to take up our time and attention and our energy was just noise? And it's just that's all we can hear right now. John the Baptist was an interesting guy, to say the least. He wasn't clean cut or dressed nicely. His hair was a mess. He ate bugs and wore animal skin. But above all, he wanted people to hear what he had to say. He wanted people to hear what God had to say. John wasn't just a baptizer, but he was a prophet. Now, the job of the prophet was and still is a very important one. Throughout the scriptures, the prophets were the ones who called nations and peoples out when they were not living how God wanted them to live. But another way to describe the role of the prophet is that the prophets call us back to God. When we get distracted and we get too far astray from where we should be, the prophet calls us back to God. Today we hear John described as the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, and how he calls us to turn our attention away from that which is keeping us from looking forward to the first coming of Jesus Christ. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness is crying out, calling us away from our busy schedules. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness is crying out, calling us away from our selfishness, away from our sadness, away from whatever darkness hangs over us during this time in our lives. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Today we are being called to get ready for the one who will change everything. Jesus Christ, the great equalizer, who will take our sadness and say, give that to me. Who will take our darkness and say, give that to me. That, my friends, is what John is calling us toward. A love that will soon arrive that is greater than all of it. But we have to be willing to listen. We have to be willing to take the time to hear that voice in the wilderness. We have to be willing to slow down and maybe even stop. You don't even need a silly, sharper image toy. You only need to take the time. So I hope that you will take the time during this Advent season. I hope and I pray that you will take the time, and I hope that you will pray for me to take the time. Take the time to listen. Take the time to hear how we are being drawn to God during this busy time of year. If we can focus our attention to how we are being drawn to God, I know that the Christmas season will be that much more precious to us, that much more powerful, that much more holy than it already is. So how will you listen during this Advent season? How will you listen for how you are being drawn to God? Here's another question. How can we be a voice in the wilderness? How can we as followers of Christ help draw others toward God during this time? How can we as individuals and as this Church of the Holy Apostles be a light in the darkness? How can we be a voice for the voiceless? How can we bring hope to the hopeless? We do these things by living our lives as ones who know the hope and the light that come from Jesus Christ. From living lives like people who know the joy and the peace that comes from knowing Jesus Christ. So this day and throughout Advent, let us sit and let us listen. Let us hear the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, and let us be drawn to God. Amen.